different. Well, we want to just read. I want to start out reading. This is a long passage of Scripture, but reads pretty well in the Message Bible. Somewhat familiar, Proverbs 31, and this isn't just talking about motherhood, but it's talking about a godly woman. And let's just read through it, and we'll say some things. A good woman, Proverbs 31, verse 10, a good woman is hard to find. Amen. Stop right there. And worth far more than diamonds. Far more than diamonds, her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons and enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. She looks over a field and buys it. Then, with the money she's put aside, plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work. It is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to help the poor. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful linens and silks. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers, and she designs gowns and sells them, brings the sweaters she knits to the dress shops. Her clothes are well made and elegant, and she always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her with praises. Festoon her life with praises. I just thought that was neat, you know, to see all that. And look at that. So that's just this ideal person. But God gives, and this is what I want to focus on, that God gives us, you look at that and say, that's just a tall order. But, God gives us grace to do everything we do. Anything that he's called us to do, he wouldn't be just otherwise. If he just said, hey, do this and here's how the standard I want you to do, and didn't help us to do it. And basically the secret there, as it is with all of us, is just that this woman that he's describing fears God and makes God the center of her life. And we're all, when we do that, when we look to him, he's faithful. Like we were saying earlier, he's faithful. He's faithful to bring to pass his will for our life. I wanted to read you something. This is by Douglas L. Murray, Sr. It says, there were four clergymen who were discussing the merits of the various translation of the Bible. One liked the King James Version best because of its simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because it is more literal and comes nearer to the original Greek and Hebrew. Still another liked Moffat's translation best because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent. When asked to express his opinion, he replied, I like my mother's translation best. The other three expressed surprise. They did not know that his mother had translated the Bible. Yes, she did, he replied. She translated it into life. It was the most convincing translation I ever saw. And that's what it's all about. Because God in each of us, whether it's a mother or person or whatever, he's going to show his glory. He's going to show his light to the earth and those around us and our loved ones through us. And the Bible, if it's just words on a page and doesn't get into our heart and into our lives, it won't impact the people around us. But when it does, like we read about that lady in Proverbs, it affects all parts of her life, all parts of her family. And the only way we can do that, men and women, mothers, fathers, co-workers, employees, whatever, is through the grace of God, really, to do what he's called us to do. We can all do good things. And people try to do that all the time. And they make that the focus, but it's not really the good things. It's really working for him and showing, doing his works and showing his light and his love on the earth. Let's turn over to Luke. Well, Luke 1. But the way we do everything is just through his power, his grace, his ability, and reliance on him. So I always want to read a few scriptures today just touching on motherhood. And you know, it doesn't stop. When the children leave, all know that. We had mothers. Mother forever. Luke 1:26. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Highly favored are you, blessed among women. In the Living Bible, it says, Gabriel appeared to her and said, congratulations, favored lady, the Lord is with you. In the Amplified, it says, he came to her and said, hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God, are you before all other women. This was the lady who would raise Jesus. I mean, we know the end of the story, but you imagine this, she was young. She's a little teenager. And God, you know, through an angel appeared to her and told her she was highly favored and she was going to be raising the Christ, the anointed one of God. How do you even approach that? That blows our mind. I mean, I don't know that it really, the full impact of what she was doing really resonated, especially with anybody at the beginning, let alone somebody that's that young. The impact of what she was doing for not just her family, but for all humanity. But notice what the angel said, especially in the Amplified, O favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women. She was blessed. She was endued with grace to do it. She was endued with favor to do it. Now, that Mary had a special place. She does, because she was the earthly father or earthly mother of Jesus, but she was humanity, just like us. But God gave her the grace and the power to do what he had called her to do in that specific instance. And it's the same thing with us. In our lives, in our, whether it's motherhood, whether it's being a grandma, whether it's working somewhere, whatever, God has given us the grace, the ability, the favor to do it. And that's the only way we can truly do anything. He's given it to us. And sometimes we reach things in our lives, regardless what it is, and you look at it and say, how am I going to do this? I don't know. But we can know that God has already seen ahead through the ages of time. He already saw what we were going to happen. He had already seen Mary. And he knew what was going to happen. And here, an angel, Gabriel, I mean, we see it so many times at Christmas and whatever, enacted out. But an angel of the Lord is appearing to this girl, saying, telling her what she's going to do. But he had already seen that event previously. He already knew what was going to happen. He had already seen the whole situation on earth, already provided grace, already provided everything they were going to need. He already knew what Herod was going to do. He already knew what the devil was going to try to do, and he already had it all set up. He knew the attacks of the enemy, how they were going to come in, but he already had a plan to get around them. And his grace is sufficient in every situation. And as you know, as we raise our children or we're around the people in our family, that we can always just come to him and just say, God, I don't see how what's going to happen here, but you do. I'm just choosing to draw on you right now. I'm choosing to draw on your ability and your grace, because I'm not pretending that I know it all. Like we read in Proverbs, this lady, that the woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Not cowering fear, but reverence. That means revering Him day to day, knowing, God, I look to You. I bow my knee to You. I'm not looking to do it all myself or my own way. God, how do I do it? Respecting, revering Him. And that's the one that'll be praised, because you're not looking at yourself. You'll get the results you seek as we follow Him. Philippians 4:11, let's start in. Just a few scriptures just to touch on some things, you know, just different day. We just want to touch on a few scriptures, you know, about mothers, concerning motherhood, just to, some scriptures just to encourage. Philippians 4:11. This is familiar. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Right there, we could just stop and stay on that. Whatever state we're in, to be content and enjoy the state of life and enjoy the time that we have, and just to use it for the glory of God. Verse 12, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. And Paul didn't say that's the way, you know, that's God's will that I have to be, without certain things. But he said, I know how to do it. I know how to get the job done. It doesn't bother me. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He's saying, and coming from him, the prisons that they were in, they're not like the prisons that we have today with good night. It's like a hotel, you know, some cases where, yeah, they're behind bars, but, you know, they have all this freedom. They get to do all kinds of stuff and spend all that time working out. And, you know, now you were in dark, pitch dark, sewage, left you. I mean, it's not nice conditions at all. Maybe you're cold and damp and whatever. But he said, everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do what I need to do. It's not always glorious being a mother or a parent. Not all of it is fun. But we can learn to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, whatever the circumstances are. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not through our own ability, but through Him. Through Him. Through Christ. We're supposed to do everything through Him. He is so faithful. Thank God. Let's turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Living Bible says it this way. Teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. He will. If we'll teach our children, grandchildren, when the right path, when he's older, he will remain on it. We have that promise from God. And that's a life that we're molding and shaping. But we can look to the Bible, we can look to Him to guide us and strengthen us, to help us teach our children, give us the wisdom. Thank God. Let's go over to 2 Timothy. Verse 3 says, I thank my God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Paul's speaking to Timothy here, and he's encouraging him. You know, this is one of the last, not the last, this is before Paul goes on. I mean, the things he says here. He is encouraging Timothy as he's in prison, and he's giving these directions to Timothy of what to do. Timothy was like a son to him in the faith. And he's, you know, encouraging Timothy in verse 6. It says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Fear God, or for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and of a sound mind. And he is stirring up and trying to encourage Timothy with these words. And in verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Something that was passed down. Something that Timothy learned. That he got grounded in. And Paul is saying, stir that up. Remember that. Stir up the things you've been taught. Strengthen yourself. What do we just read in Proverbs? That if we'll train up a child in the way that he should go, on the right path, he won't depart from it. Doesn't mean the path's easy all the time. But, and sometimes we all need a little encouragement. That's what Paul's doing here. But he said that faith that was in your grandmother, giving him a picture. Like we read that quote from the man about the picture. Yes, we know what is in the Bible, and we can recall scriptures, but sometimes, like we know, a picture is worth 1,000 words when we see something modeled for us. When we see people model what it looks like to walk with integrity, what it looks like to be a godly man or a godly woman, speaks volumes to all of us. We know, growing up, how different examples, good or bad, impacted us. And really affects eternity. Because whatever we are affected, and is the way things that we brought with us has affected how we're living today. And we, in turn, affect the people around us. We affect our children. We affect our grandchildren. But it started way up the line. Now, I mean, we obviously change things through the word or whatever, but it has an impact. There's things that could have been better, could have been worse about our past. If we would have had a certain example or a different upbringing, maybe there's certain things we wouldn't have had to dealt with. Maybe there's things that we didn't have to deal with because we had the example that we had. But it's critical. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, I call to remembrance the genuine faith. He said, in verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's in you. You were raised, you were brought up, there are things that are in you, it's in you. I'm convinced you have it in you. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You have it in you, Timothy. It is so critical what we put in those around us, because it'll impact them. Go down to chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Actually, let's read in verse 14. It says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 14, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned." You've learned them. You bet you've had them put into you, which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. From childhood. Is it possible to know the Bible from a child? Yes, it is. Evidently, Timothy had that put into him, that from a child he had the Scriptures put into him, to where that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Not just heard them, he knew them. "Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." What a heritage. Like we read over in Proverbs, you know, a good woman is worth more than diamonds. Well, how much is it worth to be on the godly path and to know Him? For your children to walk in the truth, which we'll read in a minute. How much is that worth? I know for me, I mean, diamonds? Money? You know, what's it worth for your child to walk with God, to know Him? What's it worth to redeem them, for them to walk with Him? It's the blood of Jesus. It's priceless. There is nothing that we could possibly trade on this earth for that. There is nothing greater than that. 3 John 2, he says as much. 3 John 2. It's just so easy to get distracted in this life and to get off the things that are so important. Just family and knowing Him and knowing Jesus, knowing God the Father. Third John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, of course, he's talking about spiritual children here, but the concept's the same, obviously. Whether it's spiritual children or natural children. He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." No greater joy. There is nothing greater. Nothing that's going to make me happier than to know that my children are walking in the truth of Almighty God. Nothing. Oh, they got a big promotion, or they got a new house, or they, you know, got something better. You know, got on a sports team, whatever. Nothing compared to knowing that they walk with Him. There is nothing. Oh, they won the Nobel Peace Prize, or they got, you know, some other grand achievement. Doesn't compared to knowing Him? There's nothing. You know, we read a few weeks back in Ecclesiastes. Let's just go over there, since I think everybody was here. Ecclesiastes. Just hold your finger in John or 3 John there. Go to the end of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Not like we said that, you know, Solomon's going through all these things about what life is and what life isn't, what he's seen, and he's seen it all. He was the greatest king that lived at that time, had all kinds of resources. The country was at peace. He had money. He had wisdom. He had women. He had, you know, clothes. Everything, that anything that man seeks after, he had it. But when he came down to it, he would just go, well, you know, you pursue this, that's vanity. You pursue this, that's worthless. And he had seen it all. That's not just some, you know, beggar off the street making these comments. He was a king, a great king, had seen all these things. And after having all this, he said this in verse 13, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is man's all." That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, is just knowing him, fearing him, doing what he says to do, having a right relationship with him. That's it. There isn't anything else. When it all comes down to it, you know, we think we've advanced so far in society, and we have with technology and things, but there's a lot of things we've gotten away from certain things, just the simplicity of just knowing him and just loving him, and the simplicity of family and just centering around him. That's the important stuff. And that's what will go into all eternity. Is that how we've affected our souls, you know, our children and us. And when we go and step over into eternity, it's going to be how we affected people. And so when we affect our children or grandchildren or little ones around us, if we can point them to him, point them to God, let them know, just even if we're a small influence in their life, point them to God. We're ultimately affecting the most important thing that they could ever do, is know their Father God. That's the most important. Because people do this all the time in society. Well, you're helping out, you know, volunteering in a certain way in a good cause and helping the children and doing all kinds of good things. That's fine. But if they get, you know, they learn certain skills, or they do, you know, certain crafts, or they learn how to play a ball game, but they don't know him. Ultimately, we may make their life a little bit more tolerable on this earth, but we really, for eternity, the thing that's going to carry on is knowing him and the relationship with him. And that's important. That's vital. And so, you know, today, as we're just talking about mothers, motherhood, parenting, just actually all it comes down to is being an influence, like we started out with, being God's representatives on this earth, being a Bible in the flesh, just showing his love and impacting others for him, being his hands and his feet and his voice on this earth. Amen. That there's nothing higher, there's nothing greater than that of impacting lives for him. Thank God. And it's a joy just to do that. Simple, but it's a joy. Thank God.